What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today we're seeing 1 Samuel 25 and 26 here. And actually what we find today is two men who are both very rich, but end up being very foolish. One of them is in our Old Testament reading. Another one of them is in our New Testament reading. So the rich person in the Old Testament who ends up being a fool is a guy named Nabal. And Nabal is this guy who has a lot of things, a lot of land, a lot of property, but David and his men want to come through the land, but this guy is mean to David. He's more than just inhospitable. He's just upset and very angry at David. So he's mad, he's upset, but he has a righteous wife named Abigail. And this wife, Abigail, she finds out what's going on and she sends presents to David. And she says, hey, look, my husband is just, he's not very smart. He's kind of a foolish guy. So can you please forgive us and not be mad at us for him being mean to you? And what this does is it actually saves David from doing something he would have regretted. So David's really happy that Abigail stopped him because David was about to do something bad. He's really mad. So David says to Abigail, thank you. You've held back me from doing what was wrong. So Abigail and David have this interesting relationship where they know each other for a little bit. And then Nabal, Abigail's husband, this rich, foolish guy, he ends up being killed by the Lord, not David, but killed by the Lord 10 days later. So it says that after that, David said, well, if her husband's dead, I want to marry that lady. So he says, he calls for her and he ends up marrying this lady Abigail, because at this point it says that Saul had taken Michal, Saul's daughter, who was David's wife, he had taken her away. So David was without Michal anymore. So he wanted to get remarried and he remarries this lady named Abigail, which is awesome because she saves David from doing what was wrong, which is super helpful for David, obviously, and it was good for her. So anyway, that's chapter 25. Chapter 26, we see David and Saul, again, are really close to each other, yet David chooses to not kill Saul. And that's what we see here. But this time it wasn't in a cave. It was David and his men sneak up on Saul in his army encampment. They go right next to him. They take the water jar, which is a lot like one of these guys. They take the water jar and they take the spear away from Saul's head. And when they do that, they bring it away and they say, hey, Saul, hey, Saul. They call it to Saul. And Saul's like, is that my son David? And they say, yeah. And Abner, the guy who's supposed to be taking care of Saul, David calls out after him, says, Abner, you are bad because look at this. Look whose water jar I have. Look whose spear. You should be killed for how bad of a job you do guarding your king, Saul. But then after that, David reaffirms that for another time, look, I care about you. I don't want to kill you, but stop pursuing me. Stop following me. Stop trying to kill me. That's what David says to Saul again. And Saul finally gets the picture and he says, okay, you're more righteous than I am. And it says that Saul blessed David and he said, okay, I'm not going to chase after you anymore. Which again, we see whether or not that's really going to be the case. They're definitely not going to be very happy with each other. But David again does the right thing twice. He doesn't kill Nabal and he doesn't kill Saul. He does the right thing. And that's helpful for us to see. Even when it was more convenient and helpful for him to do the wrong thing, he does the right thing. You're probably going to have opportunities today to do the wrong thing, and it's going to be more convenient for you to do the wrong thing. You need to listen to 1 Samuel's advice and say, look, David did the right thing with Nabal. He did the right thing with Saul. I need to do the right thing today too. So that's a helpful instruction here from the Old Testament. Let's turn to the New Testament. We're looking at Luke chapter 16. We really get one parable here. It's the story that Jesus tells of a rich man. This is our rich man number two, the one in the New Testament, and Lazarus. Now, this is not the Lazarus we know of from John chapter 11. This is just a fill-in-the-blank name, because Lazarus was a really common name. So this is your fill-in-the-blank name, Lazarus. So Jesus tells a story. He says, it's like a rich man dies and a poor man dies, and the rich man was unrighteous, and the poor man was righteous. And one goes to heaven, one goes to hell. And when this happens, there's this big separation that the poor man who's in heaven and the rich man who's in hell, the rich man who's in hell wants someone to just go back and warn his brothers that they should not enter hell. They need to get right with God. So he asks people up there, the guy in hell asks people up in heaven, hey, can somebody be sent down to my brothers so that they can be warned about this? And the people in heaven, Abraham specifically, he responds, he says, no, it doesn't work like that. They have Moses and the prophets, which is the Bible. They have the Bible. If they don't respond to a Bible, if they don't respond to God's word, they're not going to listen. If even a person comes back to life, which that might be hard for us to get our minds around, but God's word says that God's word is more effective in bringing us change than us seeing a miracle happen. Okay, so when people say, well, I'd become a Christian if I saw a miracle happen, what you can remind them is this text right here that says, if a miracle did happen, if something as crazy as someone rising from the dead, it says the Bible is actually more powerful than even those miracles. People would love to dismiss those miracles or push them away, call them magic, call them fake. They do plenty of things. And so anyway, the Bible needs to be the thing that we use to help people understand truth. It's not miracles. It's not even our own experience. It's God's word. So here, this man wants so desperately for his loved ones to get it right with God. I know that that's true of every family. There are people who are experiencing God's wrath who would want you to get it right with God. People maybe even in your own family that are not, that didn't get it right with God, they would want you to get right with God. So we see that here, and it's just a helpful reminder in what we need to think of. It matters how we share the gospel in this life. It matters how we respond to God in this life. It matters more than anything else. So if you are right with God, I just want you to think about your friends and your loved ones, right? We want them to be right with God too, which what that means, our responsibility is to share the truth with them. So I want you to feel today we have an obligation and opportunities to share the truth. So make sure you look for those opportunities today. So that's all we got for our daily Bible reading. We'll see you back tomorrow for another daily Bible reading snapshot.